Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about making memories, forming bonds based in common values. TORD Tribe, I just want to say how excited I am to be back with you all, talking, chatting, all things parenting and life. Since the last time we connected, Memes, you went to the West Coast. So how did that go?
Yes, I'm happy to be back to more TORD topics, more men's, catching up with my sis here. Randomly in the summer, I got a call from my director, then director, that one of the partners for our organization was inviting for specifically a career topic, which is really exciting in and of itself as it becomes more and more relevant, mainstream, you know, highlighted more, and that it would be in San Diego. And I was like, sign me up. I was like, oh, so great that you thought I'd be the right person. I think I'd be the right person too. And I have a friend. It's so funny. Puppy was like, did you go see your cousins? I was like, what cousins? He's like, don't your cousin Bo? I'm like, they lived in California a long time ago.
Oh, wow. You missed the move to New Mexico.
Exactly. And I was like, don't try to make me feel bad. I didn't miss anybody I was supposed to see over there. Leave it to Latin families. Like, you went somewhere. Did you go to the obligatory visits to everyone? No obligatory visits. So a friend from grad school, which shockingly was 17 years ago for me. I keep saying it out loud. I'm like, I can't believe that was 17 years, right? Like, and that grad school is like this other phase, not like high school or when, and even college, because I had a gap before going back to grad school. But the fact that that was still 17 years ago is like, blows my mind. But we were in grad school together. She was originally from San Diego and returned home. And we, you know, would follow each other on social media and like, I don't put my birthday on Facebook, so we really wouldn't say the happy birthdays or this and that. But anytime I thought of the city, because I had a friend recently go there for a summer vacation, she would come to mind because I knew that was hometown for her. And she would speak so fondly of the city. And while our graduate program was teaching English, so we would often talk about literature. I had that association with her, and I was really happy to have this opportunity to like reach out and say like, hey, we should catch up. But funny enough, like what happens to people is that you get this hesitation, you have these relationships and you know there was this common grounding thing, but time passes and we all like either hesitate or like don't want to be as vulnerable. So I put it off. Like, I got this invitation August, knew that I would be going, was looking at tickets, but hadn't booked it yet through my job and everything. And then I was listening to a podcast, and it might have been the one that inspired us on our episode on awe, where they referenced Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And that definitely, so my friend's name is Asal. Shout out to Asali June. Because she's Persian and she made the mistake of telling me that was like a term of endearment that you use. I was like, oh my God, that's so your nickname now. and that was the universe. Like in all the things we talked about with awe and recognizing things and when things align and what, you know, life can kind of tell you, or the less, like, if you tune in, you'll hear those messages. It was like, stop hesitating, reach out. And I did. I sent the text. I'm not sure if this is still your number. Got this conference coming up. I'm going to be in town. I would love to reconnect. And instantly got like a response. It's like, of course, it's the same number. You know, we were making jokes about the fact that teenagers are the only ones who would like change their number so often, or like, you know, they feel like they need to like fresh start, new number, lose everyone that has my old contact number. because we're both high school, you know, educators. So we, and it's like, of course I have the same number. And we just made plans. And that was the first night I was in town. We had dinner. And I think reflecting on, like, I come back and as I was planning on catching up with Athena, I wanted to share how meaningful it was, this small thing that we do all the time, right? We connect with people, we might have a meal, or there's phases of our life that we see each other so often, and then things change. But it really did set the right tone to my trip and this like opportunity for learning and talking about my work in this different setting, because I'd never been to an event by the organization that was running my conference. And in this amazing setting, to get into town, and I got to go to the zoo. And basically, while I'm that New Yorker that like defends the ridiculousness that is being a New Yorker, the traffic, the smog, how closely we live together, like all the things, it's like, oh, I still love it. I'm a New Yorker. I love it. I was in San Diego, and I definitely will vote for the animals at the San Diego Zoo before any of the lazy animals in the Bronx Zoo. What stood out was how they were up for the show and entertainment. And I definitely have been feeling a little conflicted about the ideas of the zoos and the SeaWorlds and all those things that I never thought about as a kid. I just, you know, was like, oh, it's convenient. They're here. I want to see them close to home too. I don't want to just have to go to their original, you know, habitat to see them. I did appreciate that the sun is giving them energy and they're up for all of it. And it was a really great visit. And that night I got together with my friend and we had dinner. And over 3 hours, we reminisced about all the things, the classes and the books and what was happening in our lives. And it was this weird, and easy way to build this relationship, because we were in completely different phases. While she was 23 and just focused on grad school and was able to do like student teaching, I was like teaching full time and coming to classes in the evening and having to do like an alternate route, because while I was already in the classroom in New Jersey, you do an alternate route for teaching that doesn't require you to do the degree and your student teaching part time, like a traditional route. New York didn't have that option anymore. And so I would come over and kind of dabble in the dorm life in grad school, which I loved in undergrad. So I was like, yep, I can live vicariously through you and hang out. But like when her mom came to visit, we went to dinner. And now we're catching up as both moms with many years under our belt in our professions, getting to talk about the podcast and things we've learned and our partners and life, our students, all the things. And it felt like we were back in the dorm room catching up before we went to our 6 o'clock class about writing or, you know, or and it was, it made me think about how meaningful those things can be. And like I said, they can happen in these isolated times and time can pass and you can pick right up. And it makes me think about how we're sharing those bonds. I think I always share with the kids those bonds in familial ties, and we build traditions and we really give that priority to those relationships. But it made me reflect on like, is that the kind of friend I'm encouraging the kids to be and to allow themselves to like share? Because I think at the root of it, when we were catching up, I realized that it was how significant her family was to her and how significant my family is to me that bonded us. And we let each other into those things. Yeah. You know, she remembered your name. I remembered, like, her parents were just so cute to me, like the way she would describe, like, how they were. Very, and now hearing stories about how their grandparents and their roles and then their retired life and all those things, it just continued. But it did definitely make me reflect on how I can share that in leaning in and allowing yourself to share those things that are important to you. And when you're around others that value that with you and share what they value and bring you into that, you can find really, really profound connections.
Yeah, because I think it, like, making memories and forming bonds based on common values, in order to teach our children how to do that, we have to model it ourselves, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I think that's really awesome that that happened, because, like you said, you go, like, stepping out and making that first reach out after a long period of time is hard, right? Because you're, like, scared of rejection and all those things. But it's awesome to model that to our kids. Like, yes, it is okay to have those feelings, but still be brave enough to go out there and do it and see what happens, right? And be able to share the experience of the after story. Like, if we actually connected again, it was like picking up, like, we hadn't missed so many years together. And I think it's cool because the thing that we've prioritized for one of our sons the past 2 months is reconnecting with a preschool friend. Like, we have certain times of the year that we definitely have our child see this friend because they're part of, like, our gingerbread house thing.
The holidays.
Or, yeah, right? The holidays, mm-hmm, and their birthdays, right? But, and then we're like, why only limit it there? And now that they're older, they actually ask to see each other. And it's the same thing. It's that common bond of, you know, they're young. So Smash Brothers, mm-hmm, always brings them together. Like, whatever hot Nintendo game is going on, that's what they jive on. And it's cool to see because they don't go to the same school. And I feel like Torn Tribe, we've gotten stuck in a culture where if you don't go to my school or you don't go to my church or you don't live 15 minutes from my in my neighborhood, that 15-minute me and Steve always joke. But I'm like, yeah, everybody we interact with, they seriously only have a 15-minute radius. Like, if it's, mm-hmm, beyond 15 minutes, they don't go. And so our circles hardly ever overlap where we do stuff because we travel like 40 minutes out of our way because we just thoroughly enjoy the people, right? Or what we have to offer those people. And then, so I just think it's nice when we model for our children that you don't need to see someone every day to reach out and have a good time. But the other thing it made me start thinking memes is, for our children, how do we get them to understand what it is that they value, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are times where, because they value certain things, when they go to connect with someone they haven't seen in a couple months or years, their difference in values causes that connection to not be as sweet. They realize, like, oh, we've grown so far apart. We don't really have anything in common anymore. We actually don't really even enjoy each other's company. And it slowly fades away, which I think is healthy too, because we're not to just conform to anybody just to be accepted. So how do you establish those values and make them realize that that is what's making you hang out more or pick up the phone and call that person?
I think also it's analyzing the people we will sometimes out of convenience, circumstance, attach ourselves to out of this belief or human nature of, like, needing partnership or connection. But I think if you test it with the, we're not forced to be in the same space and we're choosing to still connect. Right? Because I did my graduate program with tons of people.
Correct.
And literally this friend and one professor in particular resonate are in my mind and like they imprinted, right? And others impacted, because we were even referencing one of our Shakespeare professor, and I was sharing that he imprinted in a way that when I think about making a podcast and knowing podcasts, it was because part of his curriculum was to listen to a podcast when they were just iTunes like files, and you know, before anyone was listening to podcasts. But it made an impression that who knew when I was listening to that eventually I'd be inspired to create one. Like, that wasn't what I thought when I was listening to it. I enjoyed it, but it didn't spark then. But it makes me also analyze that, like, sometimes it's a circumstance or a season, and that can't, like you said, it can be okay, and it can be okay for things to grow and change, and we grow out of certain relationships. But I think when you really analyze what's at the root, it doesn't have to be every day, and it doesn't have to be over the same circumstance. And that's where it's a little more profound and rooted in something that's like truly you. Even if, because I think even when the values change and you don't enjoy each other's company, the impact of that season is still the thing you carry with you. Right. And I think it's analyzing in the moment. Sometimes I will be in a new space. I get asked a lot when I'm in a new place. Or I remember when Owen and I got back together, he was surprised how much I would just like go, like take an afternoon and go to a museum by myself. Like, it wasn't always a shared event. And other things, I had another friend who actually observed like a lot of things I did do in shared company. But it wasn't something that like I avoided doing alone. And that was similar to this trip. Like, this one dinner was one event, but like the zoo was by myself. And I took an afternoon after one of the sessions by myself. And so I think sometimes we'll avoid that and maybe be in company that is not as true to what we value, or, and you know, even if it's superficial. But we'll tend to kind of get in the comfort zone. And I think it's also good for you to kind of examine, discuss, or see, observe with the kids how that lands. I think even young, there's a lot of like what's accepted, the peer pressure thing. And I think maybe if you can root yourself in, it's okay to be alone, or it's okay to wait to really forge these bonds with people who do have more of a truer connection in these values. And it's a hard thing that I think comes with maturity, but I think it can be a valuable lesson to kind of pause and say why someone's in your circle. Correct.
Yeah.
Which sometimes we only feel more when we're disappointed or someone's gone. But I think if we can like tune into it a little bit more, we could, maybe we avoid those disappointments, or we can be more accepting of whatever season it had.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to sit and think about the bonds and the common values you have of folks that you see on a day to day, those that you choose to do day to day life with. Mm-hmm. Right. And then those that you would choose to see on a trip. Right. So, mm-hmm. and just finding the common thread between the two groups, because there is a link, right? And, mm-hmm. and having our children realize that, hey, who I choose to spend my company with, one, I do have a choice in that. And two, it does impact other opportunities and other, exposes me to other things that I might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to have with the boys, I'm always challenging them to understand, why is it that you're interested in that? Is it really that game, or is it that person's company and they like to play the game, so you play along? Or, and making sure that they're not just succumbing to peer pressure and not becoming their own person, have mm-hmm. their own voice, have their own interest. that if everybody else were to disappear and they were left on an island by themselves, what would they spend their time doing, right? Mm-hmm. And be secure in that. Because I think we tend to surround ourselves with a lot of company, and then that company puts on us values, right?
Yeah, and replaces the reflection and introspection. Yeah,
correct. So the balance. So I think some friendships, the distance makes it all the more profound, because mm-hmm. when you actually do see them and you realize, like, oh, we've been living similar lives or with our interests doing different things, it's that much more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just very moved. It was bringing me full circle to our thoughts about, like, awe and what are the connections and the things we spend time in that give us that sense of feeling small. I was happy and grateful, but it gave me that very appreciative feeling of that human connection and feeling really small that I had no idea was going to be the result of that reconnection.
And it's interesting because while you were out in San Diego, I had a friend from high school reach out to me. And so I was on the other end of the spectrum. Someone reached out to me. Mm-hmm. But so I just like the modeling for our children, because the boldness to reach out and then have that experience, and then also to model to them, like, hey, when someone reaches out to you, how to respond, because you know, you don't want to leave people hanging or give them the response that you would dread. So So they reached out through a text. And it's interesting because I also think, kind of like you were saying, like the things that you remembered about you in your life and the things that you remembered about her in her life, I just always think it's interesting to reconnect with friends that do you, it's unfortunate to say this, but 20 years ago. 20, meme. 20. I couldn't believe he kept saying that number and I just couldn't accept it. I'm like, it has not been 20 years. Just stop saying that. I don't feel old enough for that to even have happened 20 years ago. But anywho, but the reason why the person reaches out is also profound to just think about, right? So of course this person reaches out because they're in a situation and they're like, I was praying and your name popped in my head. So you must have the answer. And I'm like, I do not have the answer. so much pressure. But I'm like, but it's just so interesting that 20 years ago, this person saw me as someone that they could confide in and get counsel from. And I'm like, really? When I think about 20 years ago with Athena, I'm like, I was lost. Like, I was grumpy. I'm surprised you even talked to me every day, you know? Like, I look back on that Athena, I'm like, gosh, avoid her at all costs. She was just an angry high school girl. Which, you know, but so it's just so interesting how that happens. But again, like you were saying, because we had common values back then that we still hold true today, the conversation we had was just like in high school that we used to stay on the phone for hours, and it's as if 20 years did not pass by, you know. Like, oh yeah, we're just picking back up, and I feel like I'm sitting in my high school bedroom talking about whatever, you know. So and just being able to share that with my sons, and they couldn't believe it. They were like, well, it's interesting that you said the thing about the same number, because that's exactly what my boy said. They're like, you had the same number that you had in high school. Yes. Thanks to memes, I actually had gotten a cell phone and I kept the number. Like, the same number. Yeah, so I just think it's an awesome thing to model for our children. And Torn Tribe, I guess our sentiment is work with your child to understand what they value. And that could be like reflecting on the relationships that they hold dear in their lives on a day-to-day basis. Or if you're traveling somewhere that you know a friend had moved, if they would choose to see them or not, you know. Mm-hmm. And then understanding their own interests, how exposing themselves to people that they might not think they have anything in common with will, you know, maybe 20 years down the road lead to another meetup that feels so natural, right? Because everybody starts somewhere meeting
a friend. And not to fear or read into circumstance if, like, my biggest thing wasn't, it was like, is the number of like going to work? But then it was, will circumstances, because it was, my trip is a very tight turnaround. And it was like, I can't assume that the evening or half day or whatever I have available is going to work. And I didn't want to feel like the pang and interpret it as not wanting to, when it could just really be life, right? Like,
correct.
And it couldn't work, but I was so glad it did. But I think also, like, advising our kids to kind of take it for what it is, and that kind of the way the circumstances play out will kind of tell you, like, not to read into it, take it too personally, and to keep making the invitation or making the connection or keep answering the call, and, like, kind of see where it goes.
Yeah. So, Torn Tri, we encourage you and your children to make memories and then see 20 years from now where those bonds take you.
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
So, memes, what's mending you these days?
So, in my ever so reflective, like, oh my God, you were such an amazing friend, I'm going to be very memes and say that my mend was that the reflection that warmed my heart was that I showed up as the friend I think I'm always harping on myself, that I wonder if I'm not 100%, right? There was something in the catch up and in the connection that was very affirming of, like, you're an okay person. And I think I needed that. I think I needed the, like, because seriously, I would, like, cross the bridge, get to class, you know, leave at 9. I sometimes wondered if I was imposing with the, like, hey, I'll be there early, can I come by the dorm? And to have her reference, like, you felt like the big sister, you know, I never had during this phase, and you knew New York, and we connected. It just kind of gave me feedback that I didn't know my soul needed. And that was very mending.
That is awesome. Yeah, that is pretty cool. Mine is not as deep.
But mending just the same.
Yeah, mending nonetheless. It's helping me get through. But it's the season of bonding with my son, Sam. Sixth grade has woven us together more tightly than you could possibly imagine. So just doing, getting to actually, like, Torn Drive, I've homeschooled my kids, like Sasha from little all the way through, now he's, you know, off in college. And so homeschool has always been our thing. But there's something unique and different about this homeschool sixth grade experience that I didn't really experience yet with any of my other children. And that it takes me to the fun times I have with my dad doing projects. That whale project, I'll never forget it. I still look at blue Play-Doh a certain way. And so this is just, Sam has to build, like, a civilization in 2 weeks. He needs to understand government and language.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
I have a suggestion for an awesome irrigation system that I did when I was in fifth or sixth grade.
Call Sam Ramsey. So yes. Call the guy. Call him. He'll love to hear about it. It's due Tuesday. So anywho, so just playing with the, of course, we're Lego building and blue Play-Doh is coming to fruition and making water all over places. He's on an island. So, but the conversations that we get to have and his demeanor about pressure, it is so different than me. And it's even different than Sasha. Sasha, when pressure comes, he procrastinates and then bangs it out. Sam will pace himself, but it's filled, like, all I feel is grace upon grace upon grace.
He dances with it.
Yeah, and he endures. Like, the man can go. I'm like, so I'm watching him this week because he has school and then basketball practice and then soccer practice, and then he comes home to do his math homework or do his corrections of his test because he could get half credit for the one question he got wrong or the two questions. But he's like, it's due tomorrow, so I'm gonna get it done. I'm gonna sit here and just do it. And it's just this grace filled endurance. It's not anxiety driven. It's not dread. And he just shows up as pure joy. And because I'm his basketball coach, I get to see it. Like, you're at practice having fun. And then I get to sit and watch him play soccer. I'm like, and you're at soccer having fun and you're smiling while you're doing math. Like, what? Like, it's just a transformation in him that I get to come alongside and see. That it's been mending my heart because we started off the year with a bunch of tears because of email, reading too many emails, to him slowly just embracing it and finding his own way of managing the demands, and it's stress-free and grace-filled. And so the fact that he allows me to come alongside him and observe him, I feel blessed and mended.
And it sounds like presence. Like, take his guidance in being present.
Yeah, he's just present everywhere. He cracks me up because at practice today for basketball, I have them doing defensive drills and like foot fires. And then dropping and giving 10 push-ups. And he is like yelling in a cheerful way. He's like, come on, guys. Don't let this break us. It won't break us. Keep going. Put those hands up. And he's like counting for them. They're like, Sam, where do you get so much energy?
He's like, don't do it wrong because she's going to make us do it again.
Well, I had to laugh at one player. He's like, you live with her. You probably did this all summer. That's why you could do it. Like, no, I don't drill about holding that hard. but just this energetic joy is what I see coming out of him this year. And I'm loving it and it's mending. Cool. So my boy Sam. But Tor and Tri, we would love to hear what's mending you, what's helping you keep it together and get it through the week. And also, Torn Try, I just got to say, in order for other people to get blessed by a podcast to help them with their parenting woes and joys, you need to leave a review. We need reviews and
5 estrellas solamente.
Yes, and it's very easy. You just click review, you hit 5 stars, and you write a nice, kind message. That's it. Very easy. So
mend someone else with your word.
Yes, please. Mend us with your word. With your kind words. So tell our folks how to stay connected.
We are at TorrentMLB on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please send us emails. We would love to hear from you at torrentmlb@gmail.com. Feedback, mends, torn moments. I'll tell you that Asal's face when I told her that we had a podcast was just priceless. She's like, oh my goodness, I have to listen. And I was like, and for some, you can watch. She's like, I'm doing it.
Yes. Like, share, yes, subscribe.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining.
Choose grace.
When you feel torn, choose grace.